Welcome to Co-Creative Conversations from Co-Creator Circle. We explore the power of connection, creativity, expansion, and innovation. Join us on this engaging podcast as we dive into an evolving consciousness of compassion with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and change makers across the globe from various fields. From each conversation, we uncover insights, find pathways to our inner strength, and connect to co-create a world that benefits all. Tune in for captivating conversations that spark inspirations within the listener. Subscribe now to receive, absorb, and radiate in harmony with a vibrant community of co-creators. Today, I'm delighted to welcome you to a conversation between Maria Milagros Kowalski of Venezuela, currently in Miami, and Catherine Schmark of Germany, currently in Costa Rica. I'd love to introduce the two of them. Maria is a messenger of the divine feminine. She's a ceremony leader and an author. She brings harmony to women and spaces through her priestess and her shamanic services. She's a ceremony leader who offers womb healing and space clearing to clear stagnant energy and bring creative energy into people's lives. Maria is in conversation with Catherine Schmark. Catherine is an author of Spirit Planning, Co-Creation, Planning and Building with the Forces of Nature. She is an interior architect and a feng shui master with passion. With over 20 years of countless consultations and planning, Catherine's designs of harmonious interior architecture have changed the lives of her clients. Her encounter with the Taoist feng shui grandmaster, Yap Cheng Hai, and learning his wisdom changed her life. Her deep desire is to connect people in their home and in their office spaces with the cosmic laws of nature by transforming their spaces, their homes, their offices, wherever they work and wherever they are, into their personal temples to give them more love, happiness, peace, and joy. We're going to share each one's social media accounts on Instagram and website. So please stay tuned to their websites. Over to you now, Maria and Catherine.
Thank you, Meenakshi. And today's theme is ancient codes for modern conscious architecture. And who better than our guest today, my dear friend, Catherine Schmack. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you.
What exactly do you do?
Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Meenakshi, for inviting me to this wonderful co-creator circle and the wonderful work that you are doing. I'm very delighted to be here part of this. That's what I'm doing. I am creating spaces for humans to grow into their true self, to grow into harmony, for families to build homes for a better future. And this I do with the old and ancient wisdom of classical feng shui, combining this with the Western modern architecture, bringing this into the present and then into the future for humans here on this planet. Yes.
That is fascinating, Catherine. For the people that don't know or need a refreshing, what exactly is feng shui or feng shui? How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, as I'm a German, I pronounce it feng shui, but in English, I say feng shui. So this feng shui is something that most of the people understand directly, feng shui. Feng shui is a very, very old wisdom that is kind of found by, because people, the ancient people were searching for places to bury the dead, as they were, they knew that the roots of the ancestors will guide the future generations into wealth and health and abundance. So they were looking for the perfect place with the perfect topography to lead the spirit of this place where this buried, the dead were buried, into the future of the living generations to come. And they found these places by special constellations, by special patterns. For example, we have very simple, we have a huge mountain in the back, like a protective energy. And in the front, in the facing of the burial site, we have a energy of activity, like a lake, like the topography goes down a little bit, collecting space. So this, there were special kind of patterns that they used to find these, we called power spots. And all these techniques, all these formulas they, these old masters were working with, were then many years and decades later were transferred into the living world. Not only the graveyards were designed like that, but then they started to design the houses, the personal temples of the living in the same energy, in the same, with the same formulas. And this was so powerful that the people who were living in these houses with all these patterns and this wonderful patterns lead it into a very healthy future for the living.
Yeah,
and this
all
is
these...
what I'm doing today. I work with these old, with these old formulas for the wealth, the health, and the abundance of families right now.
Yeah, as you see, all this abundance that is available in nature, wow, I can imagine, and you have told me how this really transformed your life as an interior architect, because they don't teach you this in school. And how did Feng Shui, in which way it transformed your career? And I know it has been a gradual process, because you started 20 years ago is when Feng Shui came into your life. And you have a very successful career as an interior architect. You have done many important projects, and just tell us how that first impacted you as a human being, and then how it changed and transformed your career to where you are today.
I was in a situation when I started my own office, which is 29 years ago. I did my first project, and I felt like I never heard about Feng Shui in that time before. I felt like there was something missing in architecture. Of course, I was a good designer, and I had the ability to design spaces that look good and that are in a kind of design way, harmonic, in a harmonic way, designed in a harmonic way. But I also felt that in the end, the families I was working for were not happier than before and not healthier than before. But this is what I wanted. This is why I studied interior architecture, because I wanted to make people happy. That was the origin of my idea of my why I choose this profession.
Yeah, your
And
life
I wanted,
mission.
it was my life mission, and I felt it very, very early. But also I felt like maybe architecture is not the right profession to make people happy. And I wanted to become a flower girl then, because I wanted to stop everything. I felt like I was very stressed out. My clients were very stressed, and everything went, you know, touched my life in such a way that I didn't feel happy. I didn't feel healthy, and I felt I have to do something else to save my life in the end, because architecture is not an easy topic, especially for women. And I was also a single mother at that time. And a client of mine, she gave me the idea of, hey, did you ever heard about Feng Shui? And that was the moment my life changed again, because I felt like, oh, this is what was missing, you know? I felt like I created a wonderful strawberry, you know, red and shiny and beautiful. But when you taste the strawberry, it's like, oh, it doesn't taste. So I wanted to have something that's not only good looking, but where we feel good, where we can rise and shine as humans in our surroundings. And when I had my first meeting with Grandmaster Yap Cheng Hai, he opened me a huge door into another dimension of creation of space. Because he said one very important thing. He said, if you can you imagine that your surrounding has a very, very large impact on your life, on your decisions that you take every day, every moment? So if you are in a space that your surrounding is supporting you in a universal way, in a magical way of, you know, life force, which is love, then your decisions will be different, will not be made out of fear or looking for a perfect existence or security, but your decisions will get more and more become out of love, and this changes your life totally. So I knew this new world.
For example,
this...
something very simple.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, no.
Something very simple, like to bring it down to earth, is just like, imagine you don't sleep well. Any night that you don't sleep well, you don't function the same way in the morning. You're cranky, you're like irritable, right? So it's like that, but to your whole house, it definitely affects your whole life.
Definitely. Every decision you take has an impact on your life. And the more secure, the more safe, the more at home you feel in your house, the more secure you go into your day. And I always had this vision of this family sitting at the breakfast table, and they were all very inspired of the things that will come in that day they are going to go to. And then they go with a, you know, with very positive impact into their lives to make a really good day. And in the evening, they gather again at that beautiful table to tell the stories, to share lives, and to have a wonderful dialogue amongst each other, like a woven carpet of light, you know?
I
And,
love it.
you know, and I felt like, okay, it's not about the table, the good design of the table. It's about the life that takes place at this table. And
Absolutely.
Feng Shui and Yap Cheng Hai and all the masters, Eva Wong, they who was teaching me in the following years, they gave me the formulas I needed to create these happy spaces. And with the combination of the Western architecture, which is also I think very important in all that, it's not only working with the formulas, but it's about making good architecture out of that spiritual idea. And this is why I created, in during the years, it came more and more bringing everything together. And then in my mind suddenly showed up this word spirit planning. And that was the moment when I created this spirit planning, this bringing all this old wisdom and the modern architecture together into something new.
I love your path. For me, your path is like the result of what I've dreamt of, you know, and the reason of what I do every day. And I would say, before we go into the whole path of spirit planning, but it is such a depth of what you have to offer, you know, and to know that right now you are also bringing the Spirit Planning Academy to share this wisdom that has taken so many years, and I'm sure trial and error, and that's like the ripe, perfect moment to share these with others. And I'm very much looking forward for Spirit Planning Academy, and I know that it's going to bring just a new way, you know, for this modern architecture. But I'm going to track back a little bit when you said about that happy family, that table. As a Latina myself and a Spaniard, I'm both from those two countries, those two regions, food, everything evolves around food. And I wanted to ask you, what is the most important place in our homes?
You just brought it onto the point. It's definitely, you know, we have to do it like, you know, we have to categorize it into the most important and, you know, then scroll it down. The most important area in our house is the entrance. Definitely is the entrance, because that's where the energy comes into the house. If the energy is not balanced into activity and peace, passivity, you know, if it's not balanced, if not the right energy comes from the right direction, then it's not gonna be, it's gonna be very difficult to install a good creation of harmony inside the rooms. So the first thing we have to get aware of is, what kind of energy do we have coming in, and how can we deal with it? So we have to look at the entrance first. For example, if you have an entrance and there is right the wall of the next house directly in front of your entrance, and there's, you know, everything is blocked, then how can we get in activity that we need to for hope for the future into our house? So we have to be very careful with designing the entrance of our houses. We can do a lot of things, because I'm always working in the existence. We don't need to be afraid of if something is not the perfect way it should be, because we have a lot of possibilities to change something that which is maybe a little bit stuck into something which can be very, very vital. The second, yeah. Okay, this is the first important
so just,
thing.
So then, if we don't need to bring, we can bring changes to our homes without the need to rebuild the whole thing. That's the expertise that you bring.
Exactly.
The feng shui. Okay.
Exactly. So this is, you know, only also a small door you can walk through, you know, you don't need to have a you know, a palace to live in. You can do a good feng shui in a very, very small apartment. And this is also the beauty of this all, because life force, life energy, and love can be found everywhere. We just have to discover the ways how we can bring this energy into our life.
And I have to share with you, something that came to my consciousness just maybe 10 days ago. I woke up, Catherine, and I said, our real currency is life force energy.
Mm-hmm.
That is our currency. And I
Exactly.
said, wow, it was a wow moment, you know? And now you're bringing this, that is what needs to be in harmony in our homes. And knowing that that's probably why we feel depleted sometimes, why there's arguments inside the house, between the family, or even the reason why businesses are not coming through. It's incredible that this information that has been there has not been available, no, to us. And I can't imagine how transformed you felt, really. And
Yes.
just thank you for bringing this into the world. So what is the next, second, next? Give us the three most important places. So the entrance is
Okay.
the first. What is the second?
The second important is the first is the facing. So the second important is the sitting. It's the other way. So it's directly opposite to the facing. So it's like I said before, like these graveyards were designed, they have a huge mountain in the back, a protecting mountain that surrounds them, that surrounds the graveyard. So this is what the second important thing that we need is to look at our sitting. At most of the houses have their gardens in the sitting, you know? So we have to see, how is our garden? What is the energy coming from our garden? And there also we have a lot of possibilities. And if we don't have a garden, even if it's only a simple apartment in the 10th floor of a building, we have a sitting there. So we have to look, what is, how peaceful is our sitting? So if our sitting is not peaceful, we always try to fight against an energy, you know, that costs us a lot of power every day. But we could use this power in a very vital way if we would not have something to fight against.
Course.
And as you mentioned it before, you know, when we work with this life forces, it's like we are going into a dialogue between the cosmic spirit, which is heaven and earth. It's also, you know, the earth is the energy that is
yes,
taking, and the heaven is the energy
giving.
that is creating, that is giving. So this, the one is the active and the other one is the passive. So we have to have the balance between these both energies. And when we connect with these energies of heaven and earth, it's not a one-way communication. This is so beautiful, so wonderful to know. It's not only that you try to work with that spirits, the spirits respond to the actions that you take. Like you can compare it, like, you know, you have an impact on the earth because you have a weight. You know, do you think the earth attracts you? It's like the gravitation. But also, you have a body, and the earth also is been attracted by you. So this is a wonderful, beautiful dialogue. So it gives you a huge of things, gives you back into your life.
No,
So
I love this, because as we were talking about life force, when you're talking about the second, so recapping, the first most important place is the entrance, that energy that we're going to be receiving into our homes. The second is what's behind us, behind our homes. And it can be done no matter if it's a small little apartment on the 20th floor or a big house, we can just apply all of this. And so that will bring us at the end, it brings a lot of currency into our life force bank, the level of life force energy that we have to live our life, no?
Exactly.
And so number three. Oh no, go ahead.
Before we come to number three, because number three is very, very nice and also very important, and we can work very well with that, I want to go a little bit into one thought again, because you mentioned the currency of our life. You know, in the Western world, everything looks like very shiny, very like, you know, we are very wealthy. We look very good. We are wonderful. We have a wonderful life. Look at social media. Everything is full of beautiful, happy people. But we have to look a little bit deeper, because life is something more than the facade. You know, life is much more, to be honest. And if you go to through this Zen thought, because Feng Shui is a Taoistic wisdom, and I did a lot of Zen meditation for many, many years. And, you know, it's not, you know, it's not about what you do, because everybody does the same. We sleep, we eat, we, you know, do several things, and we do it every day. But it's the mindset in which we are when we do it. You know, we can smile, but in deep in ourselves, inside ourselves, we can be very unbalanced and very unhappy. Nobody sees that. So Feng Shui, and that what I'm doing, and that that communication I bring the people in, brings them more a different mindset about what they do, about how they do it. You can go, you know, you can go exercise sports because you want to have a beautiful body. And you also can do exercise sports because you love moving your body in space, which is a wonderful, like dancing, you know? So I think the mindset in which we do the things we do is the most important thing in our lives.
Absolutely.
And I want to change this mindset into really deep happiness by balancing this harmony, this
and,
energy.
Yes, and especially talking about something like, you know, decoration, interior decoration, architecture, that we usually feel is more of the outside, no? It's more the visual, the looks. So combining these two together just makes so much sense. It's like I'm feeling like homes with a soul, you know, like
exactly
an extension, like also like a second skin, you know, that you feel so comfortable and like your perfect sweater that makes you feel so comfortable and cozy. So
yes.
Bringing that to a home, it's just so exciting. I can't
exactly.
wait to work with you, really. I can't wait to work
exactly.
with you in that way.
And you live a totally different life. You live a totally different, nobody maybe sees at the first sight, but you live, you know, imagine it is so much more. And
imagine.
Everybody who discovered that knows what I'm talking about.
I can
And now
imagine.
let's go to the
Yeah,
third.
number three.
Let's
And
go
then
to
we'll
the
go back to the
three.
imagining, because I want to imagine with you what is possible. So what is the
Yes.
third most important place in our
third
homes?
Is the kitchen. The kitchen,
Yay!
because that's, I think you expected for being the first one, because you were talking about food. And yes, food is very, very important. It's transformative. It's where nature and human body come together, and it's where we transform, where we digest things. And so, and also the fire element of the stove, of the oven, is very important energy that balances or disbalances our home. And we have a lot of potential in the way we design our kitchens, first where they are, in which room they are, and when we have found that out, how we design the arrangement of the kitchen elements. This is in my 25 years of experience, there were the most beauty in designing good kitchens for the vitality, for the health. So many health stories I have with designing kitchens. It's amazing.
It truly is amazing. It's like where the place of the alchemy happens. All the elements are present. You told me once a story that was so funny, and cute. I don't know if you can share it. I don't know if it's a secret, but it's related to a client of yours who had redesigned her whole house. And she finally called you after she had spent so much money renovating her home. And there was something about the oven. I don't know if you can share that story, but
I, to be honest, I don't remember that because there were so many,
yes.
many stories like
The
this.
the
But
big the small oven that was this little secret between
ah,
you and your
yes, I
client.
know. Yes, I know. It was a client, yes, in Frankfurt. I know it's many years ago, 15 years ago. She had designed her house and she was like feeling something is not working here in my life. And she called me and I said, okay, your kitchen is you want to have family. She was young and but you can't find the way into it. And I found the solution in the kitchen, and I suggested her to buy a small
oven,
a
countertop
cooking
oven. No?
Genau, a cooking plate, and put it in a special place in the living room. This is what I do very often. You can buy beautiful of these plates and put them there and wait and be very conscious and do it for 2 or 3 months. Don't change your opinion. Just do it. Just do it. And she did it. And her boyfriend was a young man who had problems with getting children because he was in a medicine kind of way. And okay, she told me after that she had they had beautiful parties in the living room and the life force in her apartment went to get totally different, very much vital, very good energy. And then I lost her sight. We had no contact for a couple of years. And then she contacted me again and then she told me that she married this man and they have 2 wonderful children. That was so amazing. I just get goosebumps when I remember this story. This is the power of vitality that we have. This is the power of life force that we have. If we just face that energy, we bring that energy into our temples. It's amazing.
Truly is amazing. And I wanted to ask you about, I often read in your posts that you talk about shamanic architecture. I'm a shamanic healer. So I wanted you to share with us, what do you mean by this?
You know, I cannot name myself as a shaman because, but I feel there's something shamanic in my work because I work the land here in Costa Rica. I'm very connected with the land and the land responds to me that so many magical things happen. So it must have something shamanic on it because I only open the doors energetically. I don't know what's happening. The forces of past and future on and magnetism and gravitation, they will, you know, they will do the work. You know, it's not me, it's not the technique. I just work with this ancient wisdom and the beauty unfolds in a way that even I can never imagine. So I think it has something shamanic. And I want to know, to be honest, I want to know much more about shamanism. And I know that you are also working with the spirits in a beautiful way. I love that very much. And this is why I sometimes feel that what I am doing has a very shamanic way. Yes.
Absolutely.
Because
Absolutely. You're working
it's
with
this
the elements.
dialogue. It's this dialogue, it's this wonderful dialogue, and this just opening doors, just, you know, calling the spirits and moving the elements in a way that I learned it. Yes.
See, shamanism, one explanation that I love of, that explains what shamanism is the law of relationships, that everything is related. So as I can see from your work, you're working in those relationships between the forces of creation to bring harmony. And so the prayer that every shaman has, the prayer is to bring harmony to all our relationships. So
yes.
Look how related it is, no? The work that you're set out to do. And before we go, we have space for just a few more minutes. I would like to ask you, and this is where we were going in the conversation. We were going, hi. What is the future of architecture? I was seeing this in schools, in hospitals. What is the future of architecture?
You know, architecture cannot be photographed. You cannot make a picture of good architecture. So this is the first thing. I think the architecture as we know it in our, you know, the image of architecture we have is we buy a new magazine with beautiful pictures and we think this is good architecture. This is the one. The second thing we all think that good architecture is if we look into the future, if we build, you know, with sustainable energies, like we do our you know, we work with, you know, how to gain the power of the sun and the wind and how to collect water and all these things. And I think, and we do it with material, with technologies. And I think it's very good to look deeper, to look behind these technologies and not design material, but design vital patterns like diamonds in space. And if we do this, by doing this, we automatically will design a good surrounding. And this is the future of architecture, is designing life forces in space, is worshiping the space, being grateful and thankful every day, every moment of our lives for the space that not only surrounds us, the space that we are living in is the first essential thing why we are here. If there were no space, where would we be? Where would our bodies be? So let's be thankful for the space that surrounds us. Let's feel the love and fill the houses and the spaces that we live in with love. Do everything we do with love. Create new villages, new houses, create new eco structures with love and not with technology. You know, technology will come as it is needed, but it's not the reason for and not the way to create good architecture in the future.
I imagine, you know? I imagine those pictures when you were talking about the pictures of the houses, of the spaces, you know, that Kirlian pictures that shows the aura of our bodies. I somehow visualize a photo of a house with the aura of the house, the energetics of the house. That would be very interesting. If it was possible.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Catherine. You know, you wanted to add something more?
No, I think there are so many, you know, so many snippets to add. We can talk about that for hours and hours. And there, you know, you sometimes I don't know where to begin because it's so rich. But I think we brought some interesting points. Yes.
Thank you so much. I say before we finish, why don't we finish with the question, what does co-creation means in terms of architecture planning? If you can give us a 1 minute. What does co-creation means in terms of architecture planning?
That's a very, very good and interesting question. Co-creation in terms of architecture means that we at first we analyze and ask the land. We ask the land, we get in a dialogue with the land or with the house or with the apartment that we have, because we always have circumstances. We always have special energies that are like special characters. And we have to ask these characters what character do they have? What life force do they have? And then we work with that life force. And it's not, like we want to create something like a monument of our power as architects. No, it's like asking the land, asking the space, and then bringing what's there, what's already there, bringing it into harmony. And this is the cosmic trinity of human, heaven, and earth.
That's beautiful. It's like this deep listening, no? Deep listening for deep feeling, for
Yes.
deep connection to bring that communication that you have shared with us throughout the whole conversation. It was my
Because everything is
pleasure.
living, everything is alive, everything is living,
Exactly.
everything is talking to you, everything has an impact on you. So let's work with that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Catherine Schmack. From Germany, but living between Costa Rica and Germany, it was a delight. I agree with you. We can continue to talk about this and much more. And in the future, I'm sure we will have the chance for more co-creator podcasts. And now to you, Meenakshi.
This has been such a beautiful, engaging conversation between two co-creative masters. That's how I felt when I was listening. And I think that even people who listen to this later are going to get so many different tools that they can use. Just the rooms that you spoke about, the importance of the beginning and the ending in a way, of a house and the center of it. And I can see so many new things that we need to speak about, Catherine. So
Wow.
really, yeah, I think that all of us can talk about many things. With Maria, you have so many different skills and tools and experience. And that's why I'm inviting everyone who is listening to Co-Creator Circle, Co-Creative Conversations. You're part of it because those who are participating also listen. Yes, that's right. The love and the happiness that we share as a result of just meeting one another. And I look forward to listening to you all and to meeting again. Thank you
Thank you
so
so
much for
much.
this
Thank you.
conversation. Thank you.